Morning, church. Lots going on, so make sure you get that newsletter and make sure you are on and engaged with our social media. Well, before we get rolling, would you stand? Hold on, not yet. Just teasing. Forgot to talk about pledge cards. It's finishing missions conference for 2 weeks. We want to encourage you to continue to pray about those pledge cards, but also we're asking that you would turn those in the next 2 weeks so that our missions team would be able to build the budget for our missionaries. So if you have forgotten, that's okay. If you would go ahead and send in those pledge cards if you have them and want to drop them in the back of the sanctuary in one of the boxes, that would be a blessing as well. All right, let's go ahead and stand on our feet. We're going to do our verse. And this is a different type of week because we've got two different chapters. So what I'd like to do is go with the two references and then read the whole verse together and then the two references, okay? I mean, hey, come on, your third service, you've got 3 cups of coffee. You all should be bouncing off the walls for Jesus this morning. Okay, great. Okay. Look, second service was not nearly as engaged as the third service. Don't let me down because I've gotten my whole swing of caffeine. I'm ready to go. Okay, here we go. 1 John 4:21, 1 John 5:1. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. 1 John 4:21, 1 John 5:1. Thank you. You may be seated. Those cards are available, and they'll also be on our social media. The other thing about Missions Conference is I'm not done with it yet. And I think there's something special that we can continue to do is focus on missions. So what we want to do over the next weeks is we want to focus on a missionary a week. Now we have over 40. So we're going to cover, it's going to take us 3/4 of a year to focus on each missionary for just a minute. Literally a minute. We want to talk about them. We want to talk about what they do, and then we want to take and pray for them with some specific prayer requests. And then we also want to encourage you to go to our website and find them or find them on social media because we're not going to do them justice talking about it, but we want to introduce you to them. So this morning we want to introduce you to Rich and Ann Hoyt. They are in Southern Africa and their 3 prayer requests are this. The first one is they're transitioning to being care members for the missionaries. So they're really pastoring the missionaries now. So they're making that transition. The second one is Anne is recovering from COVID, so they're asking prayer for that. And then Anne is also asking prayer for her green card that she can become a U.S. citizen as they can come and go in and out of the states. So these are the Hoyts. They're in South Africa, so let's continue to pray for them. Let's take 30 seconds and pray for them. Lord, we're so thankful for missions. We're thankful for these missionaries, the Hoyts, as they serve overseas in Africa. We thank you for the call that you have put on their life. And now, Lord, we pray for them as they learn a new ministry and a new role, that you would continue to help them to see fruit for their labor, help them to get caught up to speed on all that they need to do for caring for the missionaries overseas. I want to pray for Anne this morning as she recovers from COVID, that she would have no long-term side effects, and as she can get back on her feet and learn this new position along with Rich. And we also pray that you would be with them as they go through the process of the green card. We pray that it would be quick and it would be expedient, that they can come in and out of the states as much as they want. So Lord, put a hedge of protection around them. Encourage them during this time of ministry. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. It's going to be an interesting morning, so if you want to find Genesis chapter 3, we're also going to be in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to take the next 3 weeks, and we're going to walk through Genesis chapter 3. Now, you're going to leave here this morning saying he had so much more to say, and to you I say amen. Okay, I could camp out on verse 1 and make a whole series out of it. But I don't have the time, so we're going to kind of gloss over it. So Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. As you find that, I need to teach you something. All right, guys, get out your pen and write this down. Happy wife, happy life. Women, get out your pen. Write this down. Happy hubby, keep him chubby. Anything other marriage counseling, you got to go see Gary or John. That's all I got. That's it. That's all I got, John. 2016, Holly and I celebrated 15 wonderful years of marriage. We wanted to do something special. What do you want to do, hon? I want to go to Ireland. So what do? I take my wife to Ireland. Wonderful trip, plenty of romance, plenty of memories. We go to the Cliffs of Moher. Anybody ever been to Cliffs of Moher? Pictures don't do it justice. Let's all just fly to Ireland this afternoon. Be great. We went to the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland, and this was the highlight of the trip. We wanted to see the Cliffs of Moher. We've seen movies that have the Cliffs of Moher. They're beautiful. They're romantic. It was a beautiful day. And we go out onto the stairs, and they have this beautiful patio, and then you can go to the right or you can go to the left. We go to the right first, and we take this beautiful picture. I don't know if you can see it, but I want you to Google the Cliffs of Moher when you get home, and you're going to be able to see this little path that goes the whole way down to this lighthouse. You can walk this path. Beautiful scenery. But there's a struggle that I have. Because you walk around the corner and the Cliffs of Moher are made something like an L shaped, and you come right in at the pivot point. And it says, if you go left, do not leave the path. Stay on the brick path because it is solid footing and solid ground. Now, friends, this morning I have to ask you a question. How well do you know me? How many of you think I stayed on the path? Okay, let's just close in a word of prayer. You look on this path, and there's people, hundreds of people. But you look off of the path, about 6 inches from the cliff, and there's this worn trail that I had to go on. I had to go on it. And Holly says, you gonna go on that? Of course I am. Everyone else went on that path. Well, what if we fall? Well, then the girls are going to have to live with someone else. What's the worst that could happen, honey? Well, we fall to our death, the girls become orphans, and they grow up homeless. Okay, honey, great, let's go. So we walk out, and you know the rest of the story. I'm okay. I survived, right? But how many of us, we see this path, we know the dangers of it, and yet, you know what we do? We just want to get a little bit closer to get that picture-perfect view. And we can sit here and laugh about it. We can sit here and have fun with it. And we can. There's a time and a place for that. But friends, this morning, I would suggest this picture is a lot like sin. I want to get close enough that I don't fall over, but I want to get close enough that I don't miss anything because I want to get a really good view. What would have happened if my knee would have buckled? My ankle would have turned? There would have been this earthquake. What if? Well, there wasn't this time. But yet we treat sin like I treated the Cliffs of Moher. How close can I get? Because I don't want to miss out on the million-dollar view. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Before we get to Genesis chapter 3, let's do a really quick recap on Genesis 1 and 2. You ready? God created the world. How do I know that? It's because that's what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, I believe it. And so God says in verse 31 of Genesis 1, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. This morning, I would submit to you, I don't know if it's very good right now. We could sit here and talk about all the different things that are going on. How did we get to where we are? If Genesis 1 tells me that God created everything and it was very good, which I believe is true, then how do we get to where we are today? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1, now the serpent, now some of your translations, it may say snake, that's okay. May say serpent, that's okay. It could be interchanged. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. First thing I want you to notice, who made the serpent? God. God is over all of his creation. But where did this serpent come from? Well, I believe that if you really want to go in depth, you can go to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. That's your homework for this afternoon. It's a rainy afternoon. So go ahead, find your Bibles, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. It talks about the fall of Satan. Satan was in heaven. He was the most beautiful of all angels. He was the archangel of them all. And he said in his heart, I want to be like God. I want to be better than God. And he had pride swell in his heart. And God said, there's no place for pride in heaven. And he banished Satan and a third of his angels, which now we call demons, to, or I should say, out of heaven. So the serpent came and was created as one of God's creatures, where God said it was very good. But then the devil comes and he infiltrates the serpent. And he uses the serpent to tempt Eve. So let's go back to scripture. So Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, if you want those cross references. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, I don't want to be funny. I want to drive home a point. When's the last time you met a talking animal? You haven't. And I look at this, and I always want to watch when I come to Scripture. And it's always easier to be a Monday morning quarterback or have hindsight be 20/20 than when during the time. But next time there is a talking animal, walk away. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, none of the animals spoke. So why is Eve having a conversation with this serpent? I don't know. But it's something to think about. It's something to digest. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any of the tree of the garden? He begins to question, even cast doubt. I wonder what God said. I wonder what God said. Well, what did God say? Well, you find Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Circle this, draw a line to it, highlight it. The Lord God commanded the man, Adam was there, Eve was not. He commanded Adam, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. If you star, you could star that and you could write in there, command. God's written command, God's verbal command to Adam. Do not eat from this tree. Any tree you can have, except this one. Do not walk or near or actually eat from this tree. I could walk anywhere I want on the cliffs of Moher. I chose to come as close to the edge as I could. Don't eat from this tree the knowledge of good and evil. Here's the consequence if you do. For on the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die. Not as in a heart attack, as in just collapse over dead, but your relationship will suffer. You will have a parting or a separation from the relationship that you know that you have with God. Do not eat from it. If you do, there's going to be a break in the relationship between you and God. Come back to that in a minute. Don't let me forget that, okay? So now the serpent, he comes and he says, indeed, did God really say? He's causing doubt. Two things I want to point out. This is a huge passage. So much good, and I'm only in chapter 1, or verse 1. I hope you have the crock pot on slow, because it's going to take a while to get through this. Verse 1, this word indeed. Hebrew scholars and commentators, they say that Eve is standing right next to the tree. The one place that she should not be, she's standing next to the tree. She's in a place that is tempting for her, and now she's got the devil whispering in her ear. Did God really say? I can't remember. What did God say? Did he really say you shouldn't eat from that tree? Well, right here's the tree. Eve has put herself in a place of extreme temptation. I was not interested in going to the edge of the cliffs of Moher until I saw the worn path, until I saw everyone else do it. And then I said to myself, self, if everyone else did it, they survived, why can't I? And so here Eve comes, and she's standing there, and she's looking at this going, this looks good. And here comes the devil, standing beside her in the form of a serpent, questioning, did God really say that? Now look what he says here. He says, indeed. So he gets Eve. He doesn't lead Eve to the tree. Eve takes herself to the tree. And then he picks up on it, knowing that she is weak in the moment. And then he says, indeed has God. I missed this until I got into the original language, which is Hebrew. Remember what I talked about in Genesis 2, 16 and 17? When you eat from the tree, you will surely die. What's going to die? Your relationship with God is going to change. Really, what commentators need to do is they say, while Eve was standing in the vicinity of the tree, the devil said, indeed, has Creator said. The devil uses God's name Elohim as the creator. He does not use God's relational name. And he takes and focuses on a different attribute of God. He says, hey, I wonder, did Creator say you shouldn't? Really what Eve is struggling with is, what did the relational God, our Father in heaven, is really how we would read it. Indeed, has your Father in heaven, the one that wants that relationship with you, the Creator Yahweh, has he said to you, you should not eat from the tree of the garden? The question I came away with as I studied this and as I thought of my own life, the first question I have for you this morning is, am I going places I know I should not go? As you think about your life and the way you come and you go, your ins and your outs, there are certain places that you should not go. And you don't go there because you know it's going to cause you trouble. If you're on a diet, you're not going to go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Right? If you know you're tempted in a certain way, then why are you going to that place of temptation? Why poke the bear? Why is Eve so intent on standing right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? She should be standing far, far away. Tom, why are you standing within inches or feet of the rocky cliffs of Moher? Because I don't want to miss out. Because I believe that if I miss out on this view, I'm missing something. How about you? Are you going places you know you should not go? Some of you are using your digital device and you're trolling and scrolling on places you should not be. Be careful of where you go. Be careful, be careful, be careful. So Eve, the woman, said to the serpent, we call her Eve, but she's not named yet until the end of the chapter. So the woman said to the serpent, she's having a conversation. Why are you talking to a snake? One of my questions I have when I get to heaven, if I'm allowed to ask questions. From the fruit of the tree of the garden, so she says, this is what happens. From the fruit of the tree of the garden, we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree in which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. Is that what God said? No. Look back at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. It's so important. I want to camp here for a minute. Do not miss it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From the tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for the day that you eat of it, you will die." He never said anything about touching it. Eve added to the command. And one place that I was convicted or compelled or challenged on was my memorization of God's word. So many times I know bits and pieces of it. And I was convicted this week in a moment of vulnerability with you. I was convicted this week because I stand up here and I say, somewhere in God's word, it roughly says this. And I made light of it. Hey, in the book of Tom, it says this. But Eve is sitting there or standing there being challenged by the devil. And she says, yeah, well, I think it says this. And she added to the word of God. She did not know the commands. She did not know the passage. And she went and she added to it. The challenge that I have for myself and for you is, am I growing in my knowledge and my application of God's word? Am I taking time to study what God has said? Am I taking time to apply what God has said? Friends, listen. Let me back off for a minute. I went to the Cliffs of Moher. Beautiful, breathtaking. When I came around that corner, it said in the sign, "Please stay on the path." Moving off the path, diverting from the path, could cause you permanent injury or death. And I looked at that. I said, well, honey, what are we going to do? You know what Holly said? Stay on the path. You know what I said? That's a good suggestion, but I'm going off. I read it. I saw it. I understood it. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't apply it. Now you can say, and you can take this all many different ways. Well, look what happened to you. You survived. That time I did. But when's the last time you read God's word, you understood God's word, and you went, I'm not going to apply it. And then, boom, you went into sin. Eve did not know the commands of God. Look at what Jesus did in Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. He recited God's word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Friends, it is so important to know God's word and then apply God's word. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." Look at what he has done. The serpent has come in direct opposition to what God has said. Chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded, or verse 17, "From the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil you shall not eat, for on that day you will eat from it and you will certainly die." It's right there. You eat from this tree, you will die. Eve is over here standing going, I don't know, because she's got the devil in her ear, directly stating something contrary to what God's word has said. And you and I face this every single day. Did God really say? Is God really serious? Yes. He is. The question comes to us. Are we going to listen, obey, and apply? Because the devil's come out in verse 4 in an outright lie. Started with deception or started with doubt, moved to questions, and now he's taking her saying, "You will not die." It's a direct violation of 2:16. Mark it in your Bible. Highlight it. Circle it. Because the one thing I don't want you to forget is what's going on. Eve is in a place she should not be. Facing temptation that she should run from. She's got hundreds of trees to eat from. But she's standing next to the one that she shouldn't be eating from. And she's saying, I'm tempted. Of course you are. Run away. But yet she's got someone in her ear influencing her, saying, did God really say that? The question I have for you this morning, are you being influenced by something that is taking you away from God and His Word? Think about it. Who is in the garden with Eve? There's Adam. We'll get to him in a minute. And there's Eve. And there's the serpent. And then there's God. We'll come back to God next week or in the week after. So really, if you will, I would submit to you there's three people in the garden. Adam, Eve, and the devil. And one of them is bringing a significant push away from the command of God. Friend, what is in your life this morning that is pushing you away from the Word of God? Did God really say? Is it really that important? I was okay until I saw everyone else walking on that path. And I thought, hey, if they did it, why can't I? And that's how we work with sin. They got away with it. Why can't I? Nothing bad happened to them. Why can't I? And you see how Eve has gone from being doubtful to not knowing God's word to now she's ready to take that fruit, pluck it, and eat it. Because she's got the wrong influence in her ear. What influence is in your ear this morning? And if what is in your ear, is it driving you to God's word or is it driving you from God's word? Verse 5, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open. There's this new, I don't know what to call it. There's a fear of missing out. FOMO. Fear of missing out. If I don't do this, I'm going to miss out. Everyone else is having fun except for me. I don't want to miss out. Devil comes to Eve and says, if you eat of that, you're not going to miss out. But until you eat of it, you're going to be missing out on something. And he paints this grand and wonderful, beautiful picture. Your eyes will be open. Oh, hon, we have to go to the Cliffs of Moher on this path because then I could take a picture and it'll be like nobody else has ever seen. Everyone else has done it. I don't want to miss the view. We've come all this way, spent all this money. I don't want to miss that one view. Can I go? I don't want to miss out. The devil looks at her and says, your eyes are going to be open because you're missing something. Another lie. And you will be like God. You're going to know good and evil. When a woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make ones wise. Don't miss what's going on here. You see, she saw it was a delight and she saw it was desirable. She's not looking from miles away. It's right there. And let me challenge you with something. It's not the first look that gets you in trouble, friends. It's the second look. It's not the first one. It's the second one. Boom, can't look there. But you know what we do? We look at something and we focus on it. And we continue to look and look and look and look. And that fruit is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. She saw it with her eyes. She saw the delight and she saw it was desirable. She wanted it. And at this point, she wanted the fruit more than she wanted the command of God. And she took from the fruit and she ate it. Pluck it and eat. She gave in. And she gave also to her husband who was with her. Commentators are split on this. Some commentators say Adam walked in, Eve was eating, and Adam said, "Oh my goodness, what are you doing?" The other half of the commentators read this in a natural way, which is where I tend to lean, that he was standing right there beside her. Right there beside her. Having the devil infiltrate his wife, he got the command. We'll talk about that next week. He heard it directly from the voice of God himself, and Adam did nothing. He became passive. When I get to heaven, and if I have the opportunity, I'm going to say to Adam, "Adam, why don't you just take a shovel to that snake and do us all some good?" But he stood there passively, not willing to challenge the snake. With the direct command of God, not willing to say to the snake, "Get away from my wife. You leave her alone." And Adam became passive. And he took that passivity and even took it a step further and he ate. He had fear of missing out. The one thing that Adam and Eve did not have, or they did have, was accountability. So the question I have for you is, do I have someone close to me who will ask me the hard questions? Adam, if commentators are right, it applies either way, but let me say this. If commentators are right and Adam is standing right next to Eve, why didn't he hold her accountable? We try to hold ourselves accountable, friends, and it's difficult. We need somebody to watch our back because sometimes the serpent comes out of nowhere. Comes ready to kill, steal, and destroy. And we're trying to do this battle by ourselves. And we can't. Self-accountability does not work. You need to sit across from the table with someone that you're going to look in the eye and say, "You know what? I am having a rough week." Doesn't give me the right to go up to Mike and say, "Hey, Mike, how's your week going? And I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." Mike hasn't asked for that type of relationship with me. So I just can't go in and lay into Mike, "Hey, you need to tell me your deepest, darkest sins." But if Mike has said, "Hey, I need some help," then every right I have the opportunity. He's allowed me in. Is there someone in your life that you're sitting down saying, "I'm having a hard time"? And that is such an important relationship. So is there somebody in your life who will ask you the hard questions? So, the eyes of both of them were opened. They both ate of the forbidden fruit, the one tree they were not supposed to eat. They ate from it, and their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Their relationship changed in an instant. They felt something they never felt before. They felt shame and embarrassment. Imagine they ate that fruit and their innocence was gone. And they looked at each other and they said, "You're naked." And they felt shame. And they knew that they were naked. How did they know? Because God told them in 2:16, "If you eat from this tree, the relationship will forever be changed." And they wanted the changed relationship more than the intimacy they had with each other. They looked at each other and said, "You're naked." And they felt embarrassment. So much so, look what they did. They sewed fig leaves together. They took leaves together and they made loins to cover the sensitive parts of their body. Now, I don't know how to make clothes, but I do know this about leaves. You have homework this afternoon, by the way. I want you to go pick up a leaf, and I want you to pick the prettiest leaf that there is, and I want you to put it in a piece of paper, and I want you to date and time when you pick that leaf. And I want you to see how long it lasts before it becomes bitter and broken and brittle. A day? Maybe a couple hours? Just imagine trying to sew that together. How long is that going to hold? It's not going to hold. But their immediate response was, I am exposed and I need to cover myself. Just imagine the innocence that they lost. All because they wanted the fruit more than the fellowship with God. And they sewed the fig leaves together and they made themselves loin coverings. The devil, he sowed them this lie. Your eyes are going to be open and you're going to see things that you've never seen before. Honey, we've got to go to the cliffs because we want to see this view. And it reminds me of this quote. Sin, it overpromises and it underdelivers. Sin, it overpromises and it underdelivers. You have to do this. If you don't do this, you're going to miss out. It's the most wonderful, beautiful thing you've ever experienced. Well, I don't want to miss out on that. And I would dare say you don't want to miss out on that. So we go and participate, and then we go, oh, that wasn't very fulfilling. When we walked up to that cliff, which, by the way, we did, I looked over and I said, yep, I'm good. Wasn't what I thought it would be. Because my knees were knocking so much. I'm not afraid of heights. But I was so scared that that ground would crumble and I would go out. I went, yep, that's good. That's good. I'm good. It wasn't nearly as grand as I thought it would be. And how much of that is true in your life? I just want to come over here, pick that fruit, because it's going to be the most wonderful, beautiful, glorious thing. Bite into it and go, oh, that's it? Sin, it overpromises and it underdelivers. Your final question for the morning. Am I trying to take care of my sin myself? Adam and Eve, they instantly knew, without a shadow of a doubt, you're naked, and I'm naked, and I'm ashamed, and I'm embarrassed. I need covering. They covered themselves, but it wasn't a permanent covering. It crumbled and became brittle because they can't take care of this themselves. I wonder this morning, if you have come here and you're trying to take care of your sin yourself, I can do this my way. I could do it. And you come this morning, whether you're in person or online, and you go, you know what? My fig leaves are just kind of brittle. I can't do this anymore. Well, this is the morning that you can come to yourself and say, God, I've tried everything else. I need to follow your way. Because I realize now I have violated what you have said. You know the great thing about this narrative? God offers redemption. And so if you sit here this morning saying, I'm trying to cover myself with my sin, that's what Jesus came to do. That's why we can stand and say, I'm no longer a slave of fear. I am a child of God. If you're here this morning, and you haven't come to that place in your relationship with God, this morning, this very day, can be the day that you meet your Maker and He will forgive you and restore you and cover you through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him, I beg you, do not leave here until you've talked with one of our pastors. What are those five questions? I'm glad you asked. The first one is, am I going places I know I shouldn't go? Am I taking and growing in knowledge and application of God's word? Is there something in my life that is influencing me that is in direct violation or against God's word? Do I have someone close in my sphere of influence that's going to ask me the hard questions? And then do I come here appreciating what Christ has done for me? Because I can't do it myself. The five questions from this great passage in Genesis. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? As you settle your Bibles and you get ready to go for the rest of the day, I don't want to miss an opportunity. An opportunity to pray with you and for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you come forward. I just want to pray for you as a pastor. Is there anybody here this morning that says, would you pray for me, Tom? Because I'm going places I know I shouldn't go. And I have been convicted. Would you pray for me this morning? I see that one hand. Two. Anybody else? Three, four, five. Praise the Lord. Thanks for your vulnerability. Is there anybody here this morning that says, would you pray for me? I want to grow in my knowledge of God's word, and I want to grow in the application of God's word. Would you pray that I'd have a hunger for God and his word? Two, three, five, six, seven hands looks like. Someone here says, would you pray for me? Because I am surrounding myself or is surrounded by people that are not pushing me to God's word. Would you pray for me this week as I try to make those changes and influence that I'd have people around me to push me to God's word? One hand. Is there anybody here who says, would you pray for me? Because I need some accountability. I need somebody in my life to speak truth. And I might need to hear some hard truth. Would you pray for me that I might find an accountability partner? See that one hand. Two. Is there anybody here who says, you know, Tom, you hit the nail on the head this morning. I don't have a relationship with God. Is there anybody here who says, I don't know Jesus? I've been trying to do this myself, and I've fallen short. I need to see you. I need to see one of our pastors this morning. I see that one hand. See that one hand. Praise the Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. It's a great narrative. Thankful for the conviction that it brings, and I'm thankful for the comfort that it brings. Lord, specifically, I want to pray for those that have been willing enough to raise their hand and say, you know what, I'm going places I shouldn't go, and I know I shouldn't go there. Lord, I pray that you put a roadblock in their way, and I pray for them that they'd be able to find someone to hold them accountable, to help them to go places no more that they should not go. Pray for those that want to grow in your word. Lord, help us. Give us a hunger for your word. Give us an application for your word. It's not just one thing to know it. We need to apply it. So give us a hunger for your word. That it's not just something that we do on Sunday for an hour, but it is who we become. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us with our influences. As we have people speaking into our lives, may it be people that drive us to your word and not from your word. Lord, I pray that you be with us if we need to have accountability, that you'd help us to find someone that's going to ask us the hard questions to bring us closer in our relationship with you, someone to watch our back, not just today and not just tomorrow, but for many days and many tomorrows. And Lord, for the one that raised their hand, that says that they have tried everything else, Lord, I pray for them this morning. Thank you for their willingness. Pray for all of us that we would evaluate our lives and say, you know what? I've been trying to take care of this myself. Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus. He came to pay a debt that he did not owe because we have a debt that we cannot pay. We so thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's all stand together this morning. Thank you, Pastor. He'll be in the back. If you have not connected with him, please do that today, especially if you are a guest. He would especially love to meet you. And by the way, if you have a prayer card today that you filled out, that card in front of you, or that guest card in front of you. We have boxes in the back of the auditorium. If you would drop that in, we would appreciate it so very much. Also, if you have not yet turned in your Faith Promise a missions card, you can drop those in the boxes as well. And by the way, WHCF begins their fundraiser tomorrow, 947-2751. You can call in and be part of their fundraiser. It's good to see you today in church. Amen? Love God's word, love God's people, love God's music. It's good stuff, isn't it? God is good. Amen? Let's pray. Father, bless us today as we leave. Thank you for your goodness and grace, and most of all for the salvation that we have in Jesus. Our sins have been forgiven. Go with us this week. Might we apply these principles that we've learned today. And Lord, might we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless us this week. Use us for your glory. And all of God's people said, hey, God bless you guys. Have a great week.